You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Time now on RNIB Connect Radio to talk guide dogs and why people apply for their guide dog. It's always interesting to hear every person's individual story. Joining me now is John Whitfield. John, thank you for joining us.
Pleased to be here.
Let's start then. You know, this is, you've got your first guide dog, and before we hear about him, let me ask you, what convinced you to apply for your first guide dog? What was the kind of the big point that swung it for you?
For many years, I've always been reliant on a cane. I have a red and white cane due to my dual sensory loss, and I do a lot of treks, overseas treks. So I did the Great Wall of China, I've done the Grand Canyon, I've done Machu Picchu, and then the latter one was to be in Iceland. I've got a work colleague, and he came in with his new guide dog. He'd applied for a guide dog, and he was asking me to do the same at the same time for me to get a guide dog. And I said, no, I'm fine. So he came in with his guide dog, and it was a Labradoodle, a beautiful donkey of a thing, massive, beautiful dog. And I thought, if I'm going to get a guide dog, I want one of them. So I went onto the list, and at this time, I booked a trek to do Iceland. And that was going to be July the 4th. And I thought, well, it takes maybe 2 years, 3 years to get a guide dog. So I've got plenty of time to do this trek, and then I'll consider getting a guide dog. Did the application, did the interviews. They deemed I was perfect for a guide dog. Everything was going swimmingly. And then at the very end of it all, I said, is it possible to get a Labradoodle? And they said, well, if you specify a breed, then it might take longer. And I said, well, I'm in no great hurry. I'm going to do a trek, and then I'm going to, retire from that. So they said, right, okay. And then I said, just to be awkward, my friend got a cream-coloured Labradoodle. Can I get a black one? So we, got a difference. And they said, oh, if you specify a colour, it could take even longer. I said, well, let's just settle for a Labradoodle. So that was it. I was on the list. And I settled back, getting into training for my trek in July. And then the beginning of June, I got a text message to say, we have a potential match. I said, I rearranged some times. Went to meet this dog, and it was a dog called Peanut turned up at the door. And I can tell you what the breed is. The breed was a German Shepherd. And I thought, well, that's different. And I said, so yeah, I'm quite interested. You're different from the run-of-the-mill sort of Labradors, Retrievers, Retriever crosses. So I said, oh yeah, so yeah, I'll work with this. But I said, I've got a trek in on the 4th of July. So they organized me to go to a hotel for 2 weeks solid, crammed it in so I could get the training in before I went to Iceland. So on the 30th, we went through it all. He was very, very difficult, I have to say, because he'd been matched with two other people and didn't get on with them, or they didn't get on with him. So he's very reluctant to be a guide dog. But I myself have had dogs all my life. My father used to do one man and his dog in the sheepdog trials, and then he became a gun dog trainer. So he's had Labradors, Retrievers. So I've had all these dogs all through my life. So there's no way that Pete was going to be defeated. We're going to defeat me. I said, well, we're going to get through this together. I persevered. We worked with him. I was going out at night with him to try and get my training for Iceland. And on the 30th of June, it was my birthday. We both graduated. And then 4 days later, I went off to Iceland. My wife looked after Pete. And exactly, I call him Pete. His name was Peanut. And I said, there's no way I'm going to be shouting out Peanut in the dark for him, because I'm totally blind in the dark. So I said, I'll shorten it to Pete. That's all good. So he spelled P-E-A-T.
What's Pete's personality like?
Quite cheeky. He pushes the boundaries. And I think that's probably why people found him quite difficult, because German Shepherds are too damned intelligent for their own good. And he liked to push, he needs to be stimulated a lot. And I think that's what people don't always have the time for. He's a bit of a thief. He steals food when if you're not looking. So you have to be extremely careful. He's extremely handsome. And because he's so handsome, I've become invisible. So I get these voices saying, oh, he's so beautiful, he's so handsome. And I say, you talking to me or talking to the dog? And the dog is stolen my thunder. Everybody knows him. And if I'm ever on a train with a cane, for some reason I might be going to a festival or something like that, I can't take the dog with me. I've got the cane. First thing is, where's the dog? Where's Pete? They don't know my name, but they know the dog's name. Yes, he's quite a character. Everybody loves him.
What's he like as a worker when you actually work him?
I have this condition that's called Usher type 2. So I've got RP, so I've got very, very restricted tunnel vision. So when I got him, he's now, he just had his ninth birthday, so he's going to have to be assessed for one more year, and then he might get an extension depending. So when I first got him, he was quite difficult, and as I say, reluctant. We worked away, worked with him, and so we did finally bond. And when we bonded, it was just a totally different kettle of fish. And you could feel, you could trust him. But what I found that how I found that I trusted him the most was because of my vision loss. I'm totally blind in the dark. Where I live, there's a back street which is very, very poorly lit, so I totally have to rely on feet. And it's a very narrow street, and it's just wall to wall of cars all the way up the street. And there's one of the nights I was going along, and Pete just stopped. And I thought, "Oh, what did you stop for?" So, and then obviously there must have been something in the way. So I said, "Forward, forward," and he went. He wouldn't go forward. He tried to, so he ended up going back slightly, and then he went between cars, onto the main road, along probably about six or seven cars on the main road, obviously. Checking and what have you, and then we came back in through a gap. So I got my camera out and I took a picture behind me, and what it was bin day, and the bin just filled the pavement, and he managed to get me up there past the bins, alongside the cars, back in, and up along. And I just thought, well, that's amazing. He saved my life a couple of times, going into crossing a road before getting into a car park, and this car just swung around far too fast. And just, and Pete just stopped in the middle of the road, and I hadn't realized what was happening, so I, indicated with my right hand to say forward, forward, and because he stopped dead, my hand hit the wing mirror of this car spinning round past me, so he just stopped dead, I stopped dead, but I was still trying to encourage him to go forward, and yeah, so if I'd have gone another foot further forward, I'd have been hit by the car.
And it's definitely quite interesting how intelligent these dogs are, because sometimes they'll do something and you're thinking, well, why are you doing this?
Exactly.
You don't know why they're doing what they're doing, because they can't exactly kind of turn around and tell you what they're doing. I've had this, many a times where I'm desperately trying to walk ahead, kind of go, no, come on, what is there? There's no reason. Oh, there's this in the way. How did you find learning to trust the dog?
That
Because
was,
it's not a process you're obviously used to up until that
yeah,
point.
well, that was very difficult because I still have a wee modicum of vision. Albeit it's about 4% of vision I have left. I use that to the ultimate degree, and and then I have to rely on the dog. So during the daytime, I feel that sometimes I'm overriding him. But the times when I, because of my no peripheral vision, something's coming from the side. And that's when Pete decided, right, this is where I take over. So it's a bit of a partnership.
Well, that is fantastic. It truly shows how amazing these dogs can be. So yeah, thank you very much, John Whitfield, for coming on and telling us about yourself and Pete the guide dog here on RNIB Connect Radio.
For more interviews, features, and shows, go to your favorite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.